Acts chapter 4, we're in verse 13. So Peter and John spent the night in prison. They're called before the Sanhedrin, before the Jewish council. Essentially, they are on trial. Peter and John just gave their discourse to the council. Told them it's all their fault because they killed Jesus, basically. Quoted Psalms. And now this is the response from the council. Starting in verse 13, it says, "The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves." The Holy Spirit gives boldness. The Holy Spirit gives boldness and authority. So it says it was apparent to them that these were ordinary men with no special training. And we kind of touched on this a little bit last week. So this means that they knew that they didn't sit under some of the great Jewish scholars. Gamaliel is one of the ones that we hear about and we'll learn about more a little bit later in Acts. But they knew that these guys, maybe by their attire, maybe by their demeanor, that maybe because they weren't running in the same circle that the council was running in, that these guys aren't people that have sat under great teachers. These guys aren't people that had great educations and learned to be a great orators. That these are just common guys. I'm sure they had synagogue training wherever their hometown is, but they weren't under any of our guys, or any of the elite, if you will. And so they're watching this and hearing this, and Peter and John are speaking with boldness and authority. And these are key attributes that were brought to life through the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit moved through them, remember we read how it says Peter was given like a fresh filling. He was given a little expanded dose so that he could operate under this intense situation. And so authority in this context, it's not the authority to command someone, "Hey, go take out the garbage. Hey, I need these papers filed. I need this copied. I need a fresh cup of coffee." It's not that kind of authority. To speak with authority is to speak with the confident quality of someone who knows a lot about something or who is respected by other people. Someone who speaks on authority about a subject. So maybe I go to a finance seminar and that person at that seminar is speaking in authority on that subject. They are well versed in that subject. Lucas called me Saturday and left a voicemail. I'm like, "Well, something must be going on. Lucas is leaving a voicemail. He knows better than to leave me a voicemail. I got a water leak. Apparently, I am authority on plumbing. I'll be right over." Hour later, no plumbing leak. It's all fixed. All is well. Some great finisher put a finish nail right through the plumbing. But it didn't leak for 20 years until he pulled the trim. That's what you get for remodeling. So that's the kind of authority, somebody that knows about that thing. And it's not something that Peter and John should have had. They weren't trained right. They weren't in the right group. They weren't in the right crowd. Sometimes, as Christians, we misuse authority. "I'm a Christian, and I know what the best thing is for you. I'm in leadership. I know what the best thing is for you. You know, I appreciate this group of people." You know, many times when you have a a gap in ages. One group finds the other group frustrating, or both groups find the other group frustrating. There's generational differences. There's different thought processes and mindsets. One of the ones we hear so much about today is, I'm Gen X, the good generation. And then who does my generation just rail on all of the time? Not the boomers. We don't say anything about the boomers. It's the millennials. Rachel's back there pointing. It's my group. Yep. She's a millennial. And boy, what can we say about the millennials? What do they do? A whole lot of nothing. No. But then they have that stereotype. We just rail on the millennials, but I'll tell you, the millennials I know, they have good jobs. They work hard. They take care of their families. Now, there's some other millennials out there that we're a little worried about.
I know those Gen
X. Hey, we didn't wear bicycle helmets. And we're okay. Mostly. So Peter and John are speaking in authority, and it was beyond any authority those fishermen should have had. If you want to know how to bait a hook, in that day it would have been set a net. Those are the guys to talk to. You, they shouldn't be talking to us, the council, in authority on a religious thing. This is backwards. They spoke boldly. So they spoke confidently, plainly. They had a confident attitude and demeanor as they spelled out the truth. Now, there's a big difference between confidence and arrogance. The council was arrogant. I can be confident without being arrogant. Typically, the arrogant person is unapproachable. But the confident person can draw people. And they spoke plainly and clearly about what they were talking about. I came across this clip this week, and it was a young person, like in her 20s probably. And she said, you know what I've noticed? When I talk to my grandparents, they don't use filler words. Do you know what filler words are? It's like when I try to tell you about what I've been doing, you know? So, you know, like, those are all fillers. And she, as she's talking about it, she keeps doing it. She's like, my grandparents, they don't, you know, and what's the difference? These guys were speaking plainly and clearly. The coming generations, they speak text. I remember one time the kids were like, hey, BT Dubs, and I go, I don't think so. I think if you're going to use words, you're going to have complete sentences. And you can tell me where the punctuation goes, comma. Or don't talk, exclamation point. You are not going to talk to me in text. That is not how this works. But this coming generation, they use all these fillers and slang and jargon and abbreviations. I got a text one day that said, no cap. I was like, you're right, I forgot my hat. And then I had a young guy with me and I go, hey, what does this mean? It means you're right. I mean, it means it's okay. It means I agree. What? There's a gap. But what I appreciate about you is we've welcomed the difference. The difference in culture, the difference in age, the difference in perspective on things. And we've just welcomed everybody in. And it's that Killing me, I can't remember this guy's name all of a sudden. Somebody look up the pastor from Hagerman Assembly of God. I can picture his face. I just gave him a hug, like three of them actually. Isaac Tellez, thank you. See, there we go. Pastor Isaac Tellez. And we were talking about the culture that, the family culture that the Hispanic community brings, the Latinos as he referred to them. What an amazing thing. And I said, that is one of the things that we're trying, working really hard to try and retain at our church as we grow and we have some pale and some red and some gray. And I said, we want to retain that family culture. And you guys have been amazing about that. So they spoke boldly and plainly. I feel like this is where, as Christians, as people who love the Lord, we want to exemplify Jesus. But we need to be careful. As the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we speak into people's lives, and we need to make sure it's the Holy Spirit working in us and through us, and not just what I want you to see or hear or believe. But that I'm actually being sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is doing. When the Holy Spirit's moving through us, it will be the Holy Spirit moving upon the other people that will create that aha moment when they get it. I don't have to force it on somebody, but as God is speaking through me, and I begin to speak into somebody's life, The Holy Spirit is going to be at work in them, and it's going to bring these things to realization. That aha moment when they start to really get it, it's not how hard you beat them with the truth. Because I can tell you, the harder you push on me, the harder I'm going to resist you. It's kind of our culture. I was talking to somebody about I was talking to a missionary at this missionary thing, and I said, you know, the Pacific Northwest is a unique subculture of the United States. We talk about the South, and we talk about the East, we talk about New York and those places, did you know the Northwest, the Pacific Northwest, has its own subculture too? Did you know we're in one of the most unreached regions of the United States? And it's a unique people here. Lucas didn't call a plumber, he called the preacher. We do it ourselves. Somebody was asking me about something the other day. I'm like, I don't know. I don't pay for anything. Like, if I can't do it, it probably doesn't need to be done. In the Pacific Northwest, we created DIY. You do it yourself. When we're speaking through the Holy Spirit into the life of another person, we want to speak in love the words of Jesus. Verse 13 says, at the end of verse 13 says, they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. So when you read that in the original text, what it's not saying they asked them more questions and they finally put it together that, oh, you guys were with Jesus. Oh, you're the knucklehead that denied him. That's not what happened. What it means is they took knowledge of them or recognized them. It means that as the conversation happened, they gradually became aware. Now, part of it is likely as Peter quotes the same scripture Jesus quoted, as Peter speaks in the same authority that Jesus speaks. Remember, when these guys talked to Jesus, they asked him, how do you speak with such authority? Because the Holy Spirit was at work in Jesus. Remember the dove descended upon him when he was baptized? He was speaking in the authority of the Holy Spirit. And like he's God. See that filler word, like? I think the Holy Spirit's also at work, trying to wake these guys up. The Sanhedrin, this Jewish council, And so they begin to have that aha moment when it really starts to click what is happening. God is revealing to them, this is my opinion, God is revealing to them what he had done, despite their every attempt to stop it. Remember, these are the same guys that Jesus spoke to with boldness and authority. Now his disciples are doing the same thing. Jesus performed miracles. Now the disciples are doing the same thing. The Holy Spirit was at work in Jesus. Now the Holy Spirit's at work in the disciples. Just like the Holy Spirit wants to be active and alive and working in each one of our lives today, growing us, drawing us, using us to impact the lives of those around us. And the council is realizing we killed Jesus, but now there's all these disciples and there's all the 120 that were filled with the Holy Spirit. We killed one and now we have a crowd. Great. That didn't work. Verse 14 says, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. We're going to have a vote. You step out, we're going to talk about it. So remember, this is the next morning. Peter and John just spent the night in jail. The man who had been healed returned to see the trial. He is standing in the crowd. It's debated whether he was arrested as well. He doesn't appear to be on trial with them, so probably not. But he is present. And according to this account, he does not say a word. His presence is all it took to silence the council. Sometimes you don't need to say anything. Chaplaincy, you know, I'm involved with the Idaho Chaplains Association. One of the first things we teach a chaplain, and probably the most important tool in a chaplain's toolbox, is what we call the ministry of presence. Just be present in the moment with the person or persons that you're ministering to. You don't have to have all the words. Stop doing this and do this and just be present. We don't have to always have something to say, said the preacher. This guy doesn't say anything. He is just present. Let the Holy Spirit in you do the talking. Stand confidently in what God's done, what God is doing, and what God will do. None of this ends in the book of Acts. We're going to get to Acts chapter 29, and you're going to be amazed. You'll figure it out when we get there. So stand confidently in what God's doing. We are such a prideful people, right? I just said, if I can't do it, it probably doesn't need to be done. That's prideful. Maybe it's confident. Let's go with confident. But it could be prideful. We have so much to say. And in today's world, we have so much information at our fingertips, quite literally, to find so much information. We have to be quiet and allow the Holy Spirit time to work. Give the Holy Spirit opportunity to work. We are the microwave generation. We want it. We want it quick. We want it fast. We want it the way we want it. Give the Holy Spirit time. Some people need to marinate for a little bit longer than others. And they'll come around. It's not our job to, I mean, you can drag the horse to water, maybe. But that animal can do whatever it wants, whenever it wants. You are not stopping it. Just allow the Spirit to do its thing. So the council has some smart guys. These guys are not dumb. They're stubborn for sure. They're misled, but they're not dumb. They are smart men. And so instead of saying something they shouldn't, they go, you, out. Get out. We're going to have a conversation. You guys step out. Jesus' power can't be denied. Verse 16 says, what should we do with these men? They asked each other. So they're conferring amongst each other, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council. What should we do with these men? They asked each other. We can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign. And everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. So they call the apostles back in and commanded them never to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Now that's arrogant. So here we see the overconfidence of the council. They believe that they are so powerful, have so much influence, and have so much control and power over the people that they can simply say, don't do it. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't teach about Jesus. You're done. You're cut off. And to me, the critical part in these verses right here is they say, we can't deny that a miracle has taken place. He's literally right there. We can't deny it. Everybody already knows about it. Some people like to live in denial of truth. Remember who the council is. These are the guys that paid off the guards to lie about Jesus' body. They paid off the guards to say that the disciples stole the body. They paid off people to say that the women went to the wrong tomb. They did everything they could to mislead people and convince them that Jesus didn't raise from the dead. You could probably bet money that they even sent people searching to see if the body had been stolen, if it was in another tomb somewhere. But it was not. And so, they paid people off to spread lies. They made up stories. Man, what does this sound like to you? I read through this and I'm like, there's one of those stupid filler words. I read through this and I think, I feel like I'm watching this on TV today. Now, I rarely go into politics. We have an election coming. Quite a few elections, actually. You know, it is election season is upon us. If you have a TV and turn it on, you're tortured by the nonsense. I encourage you, please, please do your research before you vote. If you already voted, I hope you did your research. Because the commercials that are out, I mean, if we talk about the presidential campaigns, I don't know what anybody stands for because all the commercials tell me is how bad the other person is. I know everybody's terrible. I got it. I just need to know who's less terrible. But then we have things on our ballot specifically for Idaho, and the commercials about those things are very deceptive. And so please, please do your research. Proposition 1 is one of those things that's on the ballot. Do your research. It is so confusing. And then when you actually go and read the proposition, guess what? That's confusing. So please don't just vote like, oh, that sounds good. Everybody should vote in the primary. Please do your research. Other states are voting to get this same election process out of their states. So all of these different things, all of these candidates, do your research because it is so confusing. We've gone from a time period where you knew what people stood for to a time period. Everything is so deceptive. This is how good we've gotten at deceiving one another. You have all these YouTubers and TikTokers and all these social media people that's how they make a living, right? They go, oh, I'm traveling to this place and I'm going to do this. And they show like the plane window. You know when they show the behind the scenes, what sometimes that plane window is? It's the door to your dryer. That's what they do. They're not traveling anywhere. They're in the laundry room folding towels, take a little picture, and like, oh man, it looks like I'm in a plane. Boop, 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 boop. Whoosh. On a jet plane. That's how deceptive all of these things are. And so we have to be so diligent to pay attention to what is happening. Okay. There you go. Political commercial over. So the council knows Jesus was raised from the dead. They know these are his apostles. Yet it's still propaganda to them because it doesn't fit the narrative. Oh, wow. I already said it, so I'm not going to say it again. Just so much like our current world. And now we have technology to make the propaganda even more believable. Verse 19, Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard." The council then threatened them further. So now they're mad and they're starting to lose their cool a little bit. But they finally let them go. Not because they're tired, but why? Because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God. Verse 22, "For this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years." More than 40 years. Likely this man was lame from birth. The people are excited about what God is doing. Think many of them may have grown up with this guy. They saw him as a child through his teen years, early adult years. And for 40 years, they've been watching him struggle to survive. Peter and John tell the council, "We can't stop telling people about what we've seen and heard. We can't stop telling people about the things that Jesus has done for us, the thing that Jesus did in our lives, the thing that Jesus did for this guy." The Holy Spirit wants us to be passionate about who God is and what God can do. The unspoken miracle in this passage, in this section of scripture. There's an unspoken miracle in here, I feel like. This is the first time we see the disciples delivered from the hands of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, unscathed. They're going to get stoned later. They're going to get crucified themselves later. But miraculously, the Sanhedrin doesn't know what to do, and so they just let them go. Because they don't know how to do it without starting a riot. So can you imagine in this setting the polar swing of emotions? You have the Sanhedrin and they are frustrated and they are angry because it's not fitting the narrative and they aren't complying. And they're frustrated and they're angry. And my guess is we've all encountered people like them And they're just kind of bitter, angry people in general, you know, the ones that are super fun to be around. And then you have Peter and John speaking with boldness and authority, speaking clearly about the things of God, praying over someone and them rising up, healed. And while they're excited about everything God is doing, they just spent the night in jail. They're in the midst of this intense conflict with the Sanhedrin. What a range of emotions they must be feeling. And then you have this crowd. You have all of these people, and they are so excited about what they've just witnessed. They just accepted Jesus the day before, a bunch of them, 5,000, remember? They're excited about this new thing that is happening in their lives. And then lastly, you have the lame man. He went home and went to bed last night. His head was spinning about all the things that had happened. And he woke up in the morning and he's like, man, I've dreamt that dream a lot of times, that one day I would walk. And as he wakes up and he lays there in bed, he thinks, is that a dream again? And then all of a sudden he sits up in bed and he swings his legs over the bed for the first time ever and puts his feet on the floor. He's never done that before. And his feet touch the floor and he can feel the floor through the bottoms of his feet. And as he begins to put pressure on his feet, he begins to feel the muscles and the tendons and everything work like it should. And he stands up. Hallelujah, it was not a dream. I am a healed man. And he thinks, those poor guys went to jail for me last night. I'm going to the trial. I'll stop at Starbucks and get my coffee and my muffin because I'm not a lame man anymore. If it was a Hallmark movie, he'd have a beautiful wife and a bunch of money and a farm. God wants us to be reminded by this account that His Holy Spirit is at work today. These things all still happen today. We are in conflict. We have people trying to deceive us and control us, just like Peter and John did. And we've got to fight that conflict. And many times we don't even recognize it, but it's a spiritual conflict. God still moves. You know, at ladies' retreat a couple weeks ago, there were a bunch of women that got healed. Did you know that there's women in this church that had a physical healing in their body? Didn't stop in Acts chapter 4. Doesn't stop in Acts chapter 5. Keeps going. God still saves. Sets people free. Did you know God still provides for the needs of people? God still provides for the needs of people. There's going to be some really excited people that right now, they're trying to figure out how they're going to provide Thanksgiving dinner. And in a couple weeks, they're going to have a hanger on their door that says, God loves me. It doesn't literally say that anywhere. But it says it right here, 100 meals with a frozen turkey and Thanksgiving side, just for you. And God wants to be at work in your life. He wants to be at work in your life. Strengthening you, encouraging you, drawing you, using you to impact the lives of others. Whatever doubt just went through your mind, you've got to learn to wipe it out. You've got to learn to wipe it out. You are your own worst enemy. Pretty amazing what is happening in this story, and we breeze through it so quickly so often, and next week we'll finish it up. There's just a little bit left in this particular account. But man, so many things are happening as the Holy Spirit is at work in the lives of the apostles and all of these people that are coming to know the Lord. And tremendous miracles are happening, and they're going to keep happening. And God wants to keep doing all of these things. He wants us to impact our community. He wants us to be in connection with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. So we just we trust God to keep doing these things. Please be in prayer for this. If you want to financially help, the church has just been buying all this. This is why we said don't go buy groceries. This way we have exactly what we need so that we can give out organized meals. But if you want to help when we take offering next week, on an envelope or on your check, just put outreach or Thanksgiving outreach, and we'll apply it to that because we've just been out of the church's general fund and purchasing all of this. We got to purchase all the turkeys still, 100 turkeys. And so I want to pray for you. You can be Peter, you can be John, you can be the lame man, or you can be the Sanhedrin. And you can be bitter and angry and refuse to hear anything God's doing. You can pick. You can be the crowd that's excited about what's happening. But you're in there somewhere. You just got to pick where you're going to be. Lord, I thank you.